first, though, talented singer-songwriter. About to join us. Let's listen first to a little bit from David Miles.
I wouldn't dance. If I couldn't dance with you, I wouldn't dance. If I couldn't dance with you, oh, I wouldn't dance a step. If it meant I wouldn't get the chance to dance with you.
Our next guest grew up in Fredericton, lives now in Halifax, and will be appearing right here in Bangor on Saturday at the Bangor Arts Exchange and on Sunday in Rumford. And we're thrilled to have singer, songwriter, and musician Juno Award winner David Miles join us this afternoon. David, thank you so much for being with us.
No, thank you for having me. How are you doing?
We're great and so excited to have you come into Bangor, although apparently this is old hat for you, at least when it comes to coming here to shop at the mall.
That's right. I grew up going, we used to travel, like, I grew up in Fredericton. I'm the youngest of four boys, and our whole family used to travel down to Biddeford Pool in the summer for a couple weeks. That was our summer vacation spot. So we would stop every year in the Bangor Mall, and it was like a real exotic. It's hilarious because it's so close to Fredericton, but for some reason, once you cross the border, everything seemed different, seemed exotic. The mall was so big, and so that was always a big, exciting stop for us.
Yeah. Oh, well, it's still quite exotic to us here as well. For anybody who's not familiar with your music, I would use the word eclectic. You refer to it as roots music. What's great is it's tough to pin a label on it because you play so many different styles of music.
Yeah, it is. You know, and I listen to a lot of different music. I think a lot of people do now, especially. You know, I listen to a lot of older music. That's probably the one thing that's common is that I listen to a lot of music from, you know, the late 50s and early 60s. I love Ray Charles, but I also love I also love James Taylor. And so there's a bit, it kind of goes between that R&B, classic R&B stuff, and then some kind of more folk singer-songwriter type stuff. I've never been very good at defining it. It's the first thing they tell you as a musician is know how to define your music. And the problem is I just like a lot of different music. You know, sometimes it's gospel music, sometimes it's bluegrass, sometimes it's country. Other times it's R&B, but I just try to make the music that I'm interested in at the time. You know, if I'm really into Sam Cooke, then it will find its way into my music, likely.
One thing that finds its way, I found after seeing you in Kanso and listening, wearing out this CD, that you clearly take the art of songwriting very seriously. As my dear late friend Dave Van Ronk used to say, I'm tired of songs that have 40 great lines and one lousy one. Everything seems to be crafted. You pay a great deal of attention to getting the words exactly the right way. Does it take you a long time to do that?
Not all the time. The best ones seem to come quick. I really believe in, I've always wanted to write songs that were accessible in a way that they were the right words, that they made sense right away. I love John Prine. I love the way he writes because you get it. You know, you listen to it, you get it. It's not crazy poetic to the point that you don't understand what's going on. That's just not my style. I'm not going to do that well. And so I find sometimes it happens quick. Sometimes, like, I Wouldn't Dance, but you just play that song, it kind of revealed itself.
Yeah.
I wrote it really quick. Some of my biggest songs have been songs that have just laid themselves out because I think the language is natural. I think the language just comes. That being said, I fuss over everything. I do love the idea of it being right, you know, like having the elements. I've always been a fan of pop music for that reason. I kind of like that idea of a distilled song with, you know, that's got a structure and it's 3.5 minutes long. I kind of still love that because it forces you to focus on the parts that are most important, what you're trying to say, what you want your chorus to be, all those kind of things. And so I'm a bit of a nerd for sure in that way.
And your latest album, Real Love, is in many ways an ode to the American rock and roll that you love so much.
It totally is. I went down to Nashville and visited RCA Studio B, did that tour that so many people do, and it just blew my mind. You know, I knew the music before, but there was something about being in that room and hearing Roy Orbison and hearing them play Don Gibson's records, and I just went, wow, this is super cool. I don't hear anything like this anymore. I just don't hear that much music that's kind of fronted by a low singer, that's energetic, that's kind of poppy in a way, but more country influence than R&B influence. So that was kind of what I really wanted to go for.
One of the things I went back when I was playing all the time, it was so difficult for Canadian musicians very often to play in the U.S. and U.S. musicians to go north of the border, you know, the V1 cards and all those kinds of things. And you know, I've known Garnet Rogers for 30 years and we played only together in the U.S. You've won a Juno Award. You're obviously very popular in Canada. I've seen people right in Winnipeg how much they want to see you all the time. What's the key to getting your music heard more often in the States?
I wish I knew. You know, it's the trick, you know, and I think you're right. One thing is it's hard both ways.
Yeah.
You know, of course, it does go both ways. It's always tricky for some, you know, for whatever reason. But I think that presence is important. You know, it's important to stick around. I think one thing that's hard for Canadian musicians is that they might have a big career. A lot of musicians get big careers in Canada, and it's hard for them to want to cross the border and play smaller shows where they're not necessarily making money because they know they can have a career in Canada. So very few people will kind of put in the work. And America's a much bigger country, so it takes that much longer. You know, if it takes 5-10 years of heavy touring in Canada to kind of develop a strong fan base, it takes 15, you know, in the States, if you're not playing on, if you don't have a radio hit or whatever. So I think that that's intimidating to people. And I think that that's actually kind of why I'm really enjoying the idea of traveling down, particularly to Maine, for the Eastern Seaboard, is that it's not far. It's
right.
Great for me. I can get in the car and I can drive down. I love Maine. I grew up going down there. For me, it's like I'm ready to kind of put in the work and develop an audience there over time, over the next 10 years. And I'm excited about it.
We're talking to David Miles. He'll be at the Bangor Arts Exchange on Saturday night and then in Rumford at Franklin Hall on Sunday. And you mentioned your influences and so many different styles that you like as a kid growing up in New Brunswick. Could you ever have imagined that you would have been part of the biggest rap song in Canadian history?
I don't think so. I don't know if I would have guessed that a year before it happened. You know, it's one of those things. I mean, I grew up listening to music. I was really that generation that was first introduced to hip-hop, you know what I mean? That was the kind of, in some ways, the music of my youth. And so I've always appreciated it, but I certainly never thought that would be where I would make my mark. Particularly, you know, in Canada, most people know my name because of that song, which was a song called Inner Ninja, and it just became a giant radio hit. And, you know, I still go, like yesterday I picked up my daughters from daycare and all the kids sing the song to me when they see me. It's a weird thing. But you know what? As a songwriter, it's the best. It's super exciting. I love Classified, the guy I work with. I still work with him tons. He really opened my eyes to kind of a different way of making music. But ultimately, I felt like the hook and the parts that I contributed to that song were me. I was playing guitar. I was singing. It was very much a song that had existed before that I just couldn't make into one of my songs. And then we developed it as a different kind of concept together, and it became much better. If anything, it just showed me that it's important to collaborate and be open-minded, and you know, you can actually make something much greater than what I would have made on my own.
One of the things that really impressed me when I saw you play was that the two guys who play with you, that's as tight an act as I think I've ever seen without it being robotic. I mean, you have so much energy, so much presence. You work so hard on the harmonies, as you said. You've traveled for a long time. It sort of reminds me of the way that the Tragically Hip could fill the Bell Center, but if they came to Boston, they played a tiny room, but they kept playing until they got bigger. You've been together with your two mates 10 years now?
Yeah, just over 10 years. You know, and I mean, I feel so, they're my best friends. You know, I feel really, really lucky to get to play with them. And we're all from Fredericton, actually. All three of us are from Fredericton. You know, we have some music that's really common to us that we all love, but we all kind of come from a different spot. Alan's a really big bluegrass guy and obviously grew up in that world. He's a great, great singer.
Yeah.
You know, I think that for me, I love the idea of having a band. I love the idea of it just not being hired people that are different every gig. I want to develop something. My favorite bands, like the Oscar Peterson Trio, you know, that's a band. That's one of the greatest trios of all time. You know, Nat King Cole Trio. I love trios, first of all, but I also love that idea of being a tight band, a well-rehearsed band, but having a trust in each other that we don't need to it's not meant to be robotic. I don't do a set list. They don't know what I'm going to play until we start playing it. But we've played enough that we can move and we can be agile and we can double the solos and we can do different things. Because to me, that's what makes a live show exciting, is that you can change it up. And, you know, and that's when you listen to Oscar Peterson, you know that that's how they, at a very, very high level, that's how they operate it.
Well, if you haven't heard David's music, check it out. And if you get the chance, make sure you get to the Bangor Arts Exchange on Saturday night to see David Miles in person. Rumford on Sunday at Franklin Hall. David, we're very excited to have you come to town. Look forward to the show and hope you get a chance to visit the mall as well.
Yeah, right on. Thank you so much.
Thanks for being with us. David Miles here on Downtown. Just ahead, Kyle Draper of NBC Sports Boston, Alan Adams of The Main Edge. But first, let's listen to some of the title cut from David's newest album, Real Love. Here's David Miles.
Everybody is living in a dream. Flashing lights and smoke machines. Everybody here is looking for the one. For the night is over and the music is done. It's gonna change them, it's gonna change them, it's gonna change their life, it's gonna change their love.
That's David Miles' title cut from his newest album, Real Love. Check out his music and then get there Saturday night, Bangor Arts Exchange, to see David Miles.